Let's pray. Father, in these days and in these times, we do indeed long for the trees to clap their hands and for singing to fill all the spaces around us. But to do so, Father, we need to be mindful. To be mindful of your word and be mindful of whose we are and who you are, so that we may be those who sing your praise, so that we may be those who clap their hands in joy. So, Father, during this time and in this space, take these words of mine and use them as you choose to bring us closer to where we need to be. If these words do not satisfy, Lord, change them. For Father, in all things, it is you who receives glory and honor and praise. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What are you hungry and thirsty for? Richard Niebuhr, a Christian theological ethicist of the 20th century, said, "If you know the answer to that question, you will know what your God looks like." So it would seem, according to Niebuhr, that righteousness and God are synonymous. But it seems a little odd sometimes, doesn't it? Because we use the word righteousness so casually. I know that when I first began taking my faith seriously, righteousness was a word that always just gave me fits. It didn't seem to matter how many times I looked the word up as I read my Bible. I could never remember the definition, which is morally right. Right with God. It seems so high and mighty, doesn't it? So what I finally had to do was write the definition down on a piece of paper and stick it in my Bible so that every single time righteousness jumped up at me, I could pull out the definition and substitute the words. You know, the Message, which is a paraphrase written by Presbyterian pastor Eugene Peterson, boils righteous down to one word, God. Well, of course, righteousness is God. Because God is the source of all that is right, all that is just, and all that is moral. So in today's reading, it is possible to do what I used to do when I couldn't remember the definition and substitute it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after God, for they will be filled. Once we make that substitution, we have to ask ourselves a question. Is God what we hunger and thirst after? Is God our source of all that is right and just and moral, or is it something else? You know, even the most self-confident, the most got it all together and I don't need anybody else, people among us hunger and thirst for an absolute source of what is right, what is just, and what is moral. But where do we look? I believe everyone wants to do what is right. But how do we know what right truly is? We want to take care of the refugees. After all, we are a country of refugees and immigrants. But where is the source of wisdom that determines how we go about our caregiving? The fear of terrorists has a valid historical basis, but does that mean that all that are not us are terrorists? Who can we ask for the answers? We want to give aid to the struggling, but when is aid in a it empowering? We want to hire the unemployed, but who do we employ first? And what is the cost to all others? We each have our hands full of what we think is wise and just and moral, but what we think is informed by our own personalities, our own agendas, and our own need to be right, which means that our righteousness is self-righteousness. And it's unfortunately the only righteousness we tend to rely on. We have each become our own gods, our own source of right and wrong. No wonder we live in a state of chaos these days with all these gods clashing and warring for dominance. But in the midst of it all, hear the good news. All of this questioning and all of this chaos just brings us to the reality that we, left to ourselves, have run out of answers. Our own wisdom, our own agendas, are empty and unsatisfying. We hunger and thirst for more. Reverend Terry Johnson once said, "Hungering and thirsting is a metaphor for intense, focused, and even painful longing for something. Those who follow Christ have a deep and intense hunger and thirst, focused and painful longing to be something different than what they see around them, to be more like what Christ calls them to be. Righteous. God righteous. Or otherwise, the God we each tend to worship is empty of all righteousness. And you see, this God that we have created is created in our own individual images of what we think God should be. We have dumbed God down to our own level and constructed individual theologies that agree with what we want to believe, rather than striving for the life-giving substance of God's truth. No wonder there is little hunger and thirst for God. God has become nothing but a bigger version of us. We have settled for life in a spiritual wasteland. Far from the righteousness of God, we have become so much like those people described in John's reading this morning. They wandered in the spiritual desert for such a long time that God just left them to their own self-righteousness in pagan enslavement for 70 years in Babylon. Sounds so much like the state of our world these days, doesn't it? Because we too struggle in the midst of our chaos and our own confusion any time we rely on ourselves to determine what is good, what is right, and who is really God. It's exhausting. It's hard being God, don't you think? We're so filled with ourselves that we're unable to be filled with God. We have compartmentalized our faith into an hour on Sunday, a prayer when we're in trouble, a devotion when we might have an extra minute or two. And we begin to think that we are God, and our sense of righteousness is the only one. But here's the thing. If God is indeed God, then God alone is the source of all justice, all righteousness. If God is really God, then God alone is perfect freedom and true life. Because you see, God's agenda is for the good of all that he has made, not just some, but all. And it's only in God that we are all filled with the goodness and joy of life in all its abundance. Only in God. Not in me, not in you, not in any government in the entire world, only in God. And once we come to that place of understanding, it'll give us a sense of peace and blessedness. Yep, sheer joy. Because God's got it, because I can't possibly. And neither can you. And when we come to that place, we can hear God calling us to come. Come hungry. Come thirsty. And be filled up with God. Don't you imagine these words from the second reading came to the Israelites' hearts like the finest of food and the sweetest of spring water? Receive God's word. Turn and spend time seeing what God says, not what somebody tells you he has said. They're the words of life. Drink up the power of the Holy Spirit that hovers and longs to saturate not only us, but to infill the work that we do. A power and a saturation for God's life that directs the lives we live. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. After God, for they will be filled, hands full, cups overflowing with the goodness and the love of God. And it is in that overflow that we impact all the world, because righteousness is not just for us. But here's the thing. Are we willing to empty our hands of the self-righteousness we carry in order to receive God's true righteousness? Are we willing to dump our own agendas for life from the cups that we carry in order to be refreshed by the fountain of true life? I invite you to do a heart check. How happy are you really? I mean, really. Those goals that you have set for your life, once you reached them, did they satisfy you? Did they last? Or were you frustrated at how empty you still felt, even as you held the prize in your hands? Did you have a sense of joy as you fought your way to the finish line, or was there a sense of regret about the way you behaved along the way? You know, it seems to no matter how hard we work, we always want more or we want something different. We keep trying, but there is always something wrong at the end of the day. And I would suggest that's because we're longing, we're striving for the wrong things. God created us to long for what He has to offer, for His goals, lasting peace, and unconditional love in our relationships with each other as they serve as a reflection of the peace and the love we find in relationship with God. Are these goals even on our radar screens? You know, the reality of this beatitude just kind of sneaks up on us, doesn't it? If we'll just sit with that truth a minute and take it seriously. Because this particular beatitude challenges us to reflect on our lives. And it challenges us to choose the life we will live. We can't live a double life. We must choose. And unless we really hunger and thirst for God and the world, we're essentially choosing to be satisfied with a crumb instead of the whole loaf. and a drop of water on our tongue instead of a whole cup of that refreshing liquid. And settling for such a meager life means that we have nothing to offer others because we cannot see beyond that constant need to fill our own plate and our own cup. We don't have any left over for anybody else. If we embrace this particular beatitude, the center of gravity for our whole life begins to shift. No longer will our lives be all about us and the meager portions on our plate. Our lives will become about God and His abundant life lived in us and through us into the lives of others. No longer will we live without any regard for how the impact of our lives affect the lives of others. Instead, we will continuously seek to empty ourselves of all self-righteousness in order to be filled and empowered by God's righteousness. And then what does blessed mean? Oh, the sheer joy. Because then God can use us beyond our wildest expectations in the transformation of the world. What needs transforming? Oh, my, my, my. A world of hate-filled rhetoric. A world of violent crime. A world of predatory practices toward the innocent and the vulnerable. A world where cruelty is excused and goodness is ridiculed. And it is something we have settled for. But it's not what God intends. The world God created was good. It was righteous. It is we who have messed it up. We've lived in self-righteous choices that have led us further and further into the wilderness. But God says, come. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be white as snow. We can change this as God changes us. And then we go out into the wilderness, seeking others who hunger and who thirst, and offer them God's food and God's drink, all for God's glory. Lent starts in just a couple of weeks, and it's a time when we typically give up such inane stuff like chocolate. Well, what if we gave up something meaningful this year? What if we gave up ourselves? What if we asked God to empty us of ourselves and our self-righteousness so that when Easter comes, we are ready to receive the true life and the true new beginnings of the new creation? I guess it depends. Are we hungry and thirsty enough to settle for nothing but God? That's a question only each of us can answer for ourselves. And I'm praying the answer is yes. And to God be the glory. Amen.